several things I wanted to mention this morning that just so that you're aware of. We're praying for lots of things, and if you're not on the prayer chain email list, we'd love to put you on there, or if you would need a phone call, we can call you and give you the prayer requests as well. But there's exciting things happening. There's some concerning things happening, and so just share with you some of those things. One of the exciting things is that Jonathan and Lacey are expecting a baby, and so we're going to have a baby shower on October 20th, Sunday after church. So we're really excited about that. They're growing family, not just a family of farm animals, but a little one. So we're very excited about that for them. And then also in your bulletin, you can see that next Sunday is Communion Sunday. And one thing I wanted to point out for you is the Saturday, the 28th, there's a men's day at Rainbow Bible Ranch. And I want you to connect with that. If you've ever been up there, they just have a great time. I think they have lots of good activities for men. And so check those out for that. We have the car care clinic coming up, and that's going to be October 19th from 7 to 1 here, where we're doing free oil changes for single moms and military moms, any families in need. And so we'd love to work on cars, and we'd love to have you help us do that as well. And then this afternoon, after our service, we're going to have a congregational meeting where we're going to be presenting proposing a budget for 2020. The elders and deacons will be doing that, and we'd love to have you be here for that. Members, you can give us an affirmation if that's the way you want us to go on that, that we want to go as a congregation, and so that'll be right after this. There is no meal today. But that'll just be happening and take place right after the service, probably 15 minutes after we're done. And I sort of threw the announcements in there, but there are some other things I wanted us to be praying about. Pray for Jesus and Dolores in their recovery, you know, that there would be things would go smoothly there. One of the things with them is that they're going to be out of work now. Jesus is going to be out of work for 3 to 4 months, and he's already used up all of his sick time and things like that at work, so they're not going to have any income for the next 3 to 4 months. And that brings me to an announcement about our benevolent fund. So we established this past year a benevolent fund, and you can donate to that if you want to help with the needs in the body. And so if you would like to donate directly to someone like Jesus and Dolores, you can do that. Just go to them and give them that money. Of course, that won't be a non-taxable gift through the church, but we encourage you to do that. If you can still give that money. So if you would like to donate to the Benevolent Fund just in general, you can do that. This year we've had a donation to the Benevolent Fund. It really hasn't been out front. And so we've gotten $100 in the Benevolent Fund. And so we would like to increase that. So if you have some giving that you could do in the fall here towards that, then we would use that to meet the needs in the body. We've already been able to help thousands of dollars this year. Families that need that. And so if you would give to that, that'd be available to do. And then we do have, if there's a process, if a family is in need, a way that you can let us know that you have a need. So if you attend, if you're a regular attender here, if you're members, we would love to have you share with us what your need is. And we have a process, including an application, just kind of to establish needs. We can find out what's going on there. Then we'll talk about that and do what we can to help you through that. So don't just carry the burden on your own. We want to help in any way that we can, and even financially there. Jens Ulahannan is in India. I told you about him just a minute ago. They're starting the chemo drip, and then he's going to have about 3 to 4 months of cancer treatment in India. They have decided that they're going to be selling their motel. Rachel has publicly posted that, and they're going to be going into full-time ministry where God directs them. And so we just really want to be supporting them in whatever they're doing. And so maybe if you have any relationship with Jens and Rachel, now would be a really good time to encourage them Their daughters, Jada and Joanna, love to have people over. Stop by the Pines Motel. It's not like you need an invitation to come in. They're expecting people all the time. So just drop in and see them, okay? They'll give you a birthday cake. Believe me, I know. So, and just be praying for them as well as they're separated and just concerned about Jin's cancer and things. All right. Other prayer requests that you'd like to say that maybe we're not aware of or that we can just kind of say out loud? I know that there's others we are definitely praying for. There's some who are sick. Tina Nelson? Okay, we have Tina's is trying to sell her home, and we have several others doing that as well. Barb Grimm, the Stricklands, and Liz Hutt are trying to sell their houses, and they're going to be making plans to live in other places, you know, over the winter and stuff like that. So we're really praying for them. If you know of anyone who might be interested, make sure you connect with them. So, good. I'm going to just lift up all these needs one more time. God, thank you for your help for us. And so we mention these things, and we want you to be putting them on our hearts and minds. And there's several other things that are going on in the body that we just want to lift up to you, needs that are not widely known, but concerns that people have on their hearts. And thank you that you know us and that you're interested and you want to help us. And so, Father, we lift these prayer needs up to you. Give strength to Rachel and Jada and Joanna as they're separated from Jin's for now. And thank you that he is in really good care and that he's close to his family of birth. And I pray that you would help him and support him there. But then his family is there here. And where would you take them to do full-time ministry? Lord, I know they're excited about doing that. And I pray that you would guide them in that endeavor. Pray that for Jesus and Dolores, for good healing on his back. Pray for others in the congregation who have had cancer and have cancer-free reports now. But Lord, we just lift them all up to you. And no matter what kind of a circumstance we're in, we just really confess that we need you. Thank you. For each one here today, thank you for those who weren't able to make it, to pray for them. Lift up these requests to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would also just mention that there is a Celebrate Recovery group starting in Newcastle. It's at Church on the Hill. It's on Wednesday evenings, and they start at 6 with a meal, and then at 6:30 there's just kind of a time of get-together. Then they go through the principles. It's a 12-step principle. It's kind of like a 12-step program, but it's a Christian-based, and so if you know someone who is maybe in need of that, or perhaps you are yourself, make sure you connect with them at Church on the Hill, and they'll get you connected with that group there. All right. I just have been thoroughly excited about preaching through Romans, and the Lord is really speaking to me. I pray that he is to you as well. But there is just such great hope for those who believe in Jesus. And Romans chapter 4, we have that example given to us as Paul teaches in Romans 4 about Abraham and how he hoped in the Lord, and others, how they put their hope and their trust in the Lord. And that's really what I'm looking for today, and we'll focus on verses 16 through 25 today. And the title of the message is In Hope, He Believed Against Hope. So there's really great hope, and I just pray that this message speaks to exactly what you're dealing with today, whether it's selling a house or cancer or having enough food, needing income, or a pain in your big toe. I mean, what is it that we can depend upon the Lord with, you know, raising our children and doing what we need to be doing? So just pray that the Lord speaks to you today as we look at some faith lessons in these verses. Romans 4:16 says, "That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in his faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. I just have a burden that you would grasp these things today, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you in ways that maybe you've never seen before. Children, students, adults, and just pray that you would that the Lord would do mighty things. So let's look at some of these things. There's some notes in your bulletin there if you want to fill in some notes and write some scriptures down. And I put some scriptures up on the screen as well that will help us as we walk through these things. But first of all, I just wanted to start out that with some faith lessons from these verses. First of all, that God intentionally bases his blessings on faith. Okay? He purposefully set it up so that the blessings that we get from him come through faith. Romans 4:16 says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his offspring. And so this promise comes to us by faith. It depends upon faith. God intentionally based all of his blessings of grace on faith. This means that the only way for a person to receive blessings from the Lord, to receive help from the Lord, is to believe in him and to trust in his word. This is what it says in Romans 1:16-17. Really, probably the two key verses from the whole book of Romans we've talked about when we were in chapter 1. Romans 1:16-17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." When I was a teenager growing up, a child growing up, I heard that verse, "the righteous will live by faith." You might recall that too. I had really exciting times growing up. I remember some things happening. Like the time when my brothers wrestled in the foyer in the sanctuary, or in the foyer of the church, and knocked holes in the sheetrock that my dad had to fix. I remember standing in that same foyer with a radio that was a battery-operated AM/FM radio that I had won because I memorized scripture verses. And then I also remember growing up thinking that, yeah, if I memorize more scripture verses and if I don't do things like break holes in the sheetrock, you know, at church, I'll be, you know, liked by God and I'll be really accepted by him. And so I started to think that it was my behavior and my actions that set me apart as a Christian. And so I thought I had to do what good Christians do. And so I tried to do that. And of course, when bad things happen in your life, what do you try to do? If your goal is to be good and have others see you as good, what happens when you do bad things? You hide them, right? Because you don't want people to see, or you don't report that, and you don't as easily confess that you have those attitudes or those thoughts or those actions. And so Satan was trying to get me off of the path of faith. But thank you so much, Lord, for speaking to me through my sister when she said, John, read Ezekiel 36, where it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. And so I read it. I didn't want to read it. I read it and I said, yeah, that's just it. I can't do that. Vicky, I can't be that good. Well, God prompted my sister and said, hey, read it again and ask yourself the question, who does the action? And a light bulb went on in my brain. For I will sprinkle clean water on you, God says to me, and you will be clean. Oh, you mean he's going to clean me? I don't have to get more increasingly clean every day. Yeah, I want to, but it's not up to me only. It's not on my actions. It's dependent on him. And so I had a choice to make, and that was a choice of faith. Do I really believe that it's God who cleanses me and not me? And so I said, Vicky, does it say that anywhere else in the Bible? And she said, well, you're going to have to try and find it. And so I did. I dove in. Guess what? I had the next semester in my at college, in Bible college, it was a class on Romans. As I walked through there, I just saw more things. And of course, I saw Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's a gift of God, not a result of works. Or Titus 3, he saved us on the basis, not on the basis of deeds that we have done, but according to his mercy. And God started me on a path of faith, putting my trust in him. Verse 16 from Romans 4, to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So God didn't just count Abraham's faith as righteousness, but he made that possible for all who would believe in him. All of Abraham's descendants who want to know God and be counted righteous will do it by faith. God made Abraham to become the father of everyone who believes. So we receive righteousness the same way Abraham received righteousness. There's only one way to please God. That's through faith in him. Every Christian who has died has done so in hope that God would keep his promises to them. Adam, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, all died in hope. They died not having even received the full promise that God had made to them. Let me read to you from Hebrews 11. I think these scriptures are up on the screen. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For the people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We live by faith, and we die by faith. That's how God has set it up. And so that's why it says in Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So I just want to say, don't try and earn God's favor and don't try and please people, because God has set it up that we are Christians by faith. That's a really helpful lesson to us as we look at Romans 4. And here's another one. God promises what seems impossible. Romans 4:19. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Abraham's body was as good as dead. I think technically he was 99. And Sarah's womb was barren. She'd never had a child. She wasn't able to conceive. Both of these problems in themselves are capable of blocking God's promise to Abraham. How do you have a baby when the mother is barren and cannot have children? How does a 99-year-old man become a father at his age? Look at some of the examples of God promising what seems impossible in Hebrews 11. Verse 19, Abraham was willing to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God because he considered the fact that God was even able to raise Isaac from the dead. So yeah, I am going to plunge this knife into my son's chest because God has told me to sacrifice him. Here I go. Abraham, wait. And God provided a ram caught by the horn in the thicket. Hebrews 11, 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Do you remember that? Joseph, when all the family had moved down to be in Egypt because of the famine, when Joseph died, he gave direction. He said, hey, when you leave here, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you and bury them in our homeland. See, he made mention of the Exodus 400 years before it happened because God had made a promise to Abraham. And Joseph believed that promise. It's found in Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16. Then the Lord said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation. So, Jacob and Joseph and all of those descendants of Abraham knew that they were going to go and be in Egypt for 400 years. Joseph knew that they were going to be slaves in Egypt. But he said, when it's time for God to keep his promise, take my bones with you. That's faith. Hebrews 11, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Do you remember the king's edict? Kill all the babies 2 years old and younger. And so the parents said, hey, I have a good idea. Let's hide him in the bulrushes for like months. Moses' parents hid him in the river for 3 months because they believed in God and they were not afraid of Pharaoh. That's faith. All of these things that happened, God's people believed in by faith, and they were trusting in what God had already promised. Look at what God is like in verse 17. Who gives life, this is back in Romans 4, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Interesting. Like freedom for the captives who had been in Egypt for 400 years. Freedom didn't exist for them. But God called it into existence. So God looks ahead, knowing our troubles and our dreams, and he calls into existence the things that do not exist. In other words, he makes a promise that he will make sure something happens. Impossible kinds of things. The dead come back to life. Rulers end up raising and caring for the very people they were trying to kill. Right? And that would happen to Moses. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. And that's one of the babies that Pharaoh was trying to kill. A baby is born to a barren woman and a very old man. God has made promises to you and I that seem impossible. Like four different people in our congregations trying to sell a home. Barb, Liz, Tina, Stricklands. Maybe you're trying to sell a home. Did you know that in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says, "The Lord has determined the allotted times and locations or boundaries of men's existence, where they're going to live when." We can trust those kinds of promises for the selling of a home. Here's another faith lesson on the screen. Faith is believing against hope. There's times when what we desire to happen or what we think God wants to happen looks hopeless. Might be just getting a day's work done. Might be being productive in a certain day and not getting behind. But faith is believing against hope. In Romans 4:18, it says, "In hope he believed against hope." That phrase in itself is a little confusing to me. It says that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told, "So shall your offspring be." So what does it mean, "in hope he believed against hope"? It communicates that in one way the situation was hopeful, and in one way the situation was hopeless, or not hopeful, is the way I'm reading it. How did the situation seem hopeless? That he and Sarah, being old and barren, would actually produce a child. And so they actually took action on that too. Remember, Sarah said, "Well, why don't you go in and be with my handmaid, Hagar, and we'll have a baby that way. Because that seems more hopeful than an old guy and a barren woman having a baby." Instead of being discouraged by those realities and even through their mistakes or their sin, Abraham and Sarah chose to hope in God that he could overcome those realities and make a new reality come about. It helps me to think of it this way. I'll rephrase the sermon title. In faith, he believed against hope. I think that's the idea of what's being said in that verse. Hope in God, which is faith in God, beats hope in our natural body or in our circumstances. Right? Man-focused hope. Faith and hope are greater than any circumstance we could ever encounter. There's so many great examples in Scripture of people hoping in God in this way. Adam and Eve could have maybe been the most hopeless people of all, since they knew what life was like before they sinned. Wouldn't that be hard? Seeing what it was like before and then realizing what happened because of your sin and how broken and disjointed it became. Yet they trusted that God would take care of them, and they raised their children and they walked with God for 900 years. I'd say they demonstrated some faith in the Lord and put some trust in God. Gideon, Samson, Ruth, David, Jeremiah, Rahab, Isaiah, Enoch, Elijah, Elisha, Deborah, Daniel, Hosea, and on and on and on. People who hoped in God even when their circumstances seemed hopeless. Faith is believing that there is literally no circumstance that is hopeless. And God means for this to be readily applied to anything and everything in our lives. We came across this in our Sunday school class this morning. By the way, I just would just put a plug in for Sunday school class in this way. It was so encouraging to me today to sit and to go through the book of Matthew and with the others who were there. And I think we were all encouraged, and we all marveled at God's power from Matthew chapter 14, where Peter walked on the water. And did you know that when they were rowing, the wind was against them and they couldn't get across the lake, and it was blowing and everything. And when Jesus got in the boat, the sea got calmed and they were immediately on the other shore. That's God calling into reality something that's not possible. Just instantly where you're trying to get to, And the storm just stops instantly. It's the kind of stuff God does. God is that great. He's that powerful. He's that good. And he's that loving. He knows our hopes and he knows our dreams and our needs and our weaknesses. He's attentive to our cries and our groaning, and he's responsive to our prayers, but he is especially responsive, because this is the way he set it up, to our faith. Even to the point where he says things like this: bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Do you have needs in your life? Put your hope in God to meet those needs. Walk in his ways and watch him bring forth great blessings. In fact, that's the fourth thing. Growing strong in faith brings great blessing. Notice that there for Abraham is a process of faith. And I didn't really take this and develop it real smoothly into a process, but I think you'll see it here. Yeah, here it is. First of all, God gave Abraham the promise of blessing. Okay? That's kind of how it started. And if I could just flesh that out a little bit for you. That first one, there's a promise of blessing here. Things like salvation, righteousness, love, help. God is personally involved in my life. Abraham was in God's presence. God would be with him. So the message is God will stay near to me. One of his blessings is that God will stay near to me. God will use me. God will include me. I'm chosen. I'm called. God will do what seems impossible. I'm promised significance. I'm promised life. I'm promised purpose. And so those are just some of the blessings. We could go on and on and on and on and on with the blessings. Second thing on there is that God guarantees rich blessing to all of Abraham's descendants who share in Abraham's faith. And so Abraham knew that when God was promising to bless him, that it was going to include all the families of the earth, all of the nations of the earth. The blessing would reach the whole entire earth, and it has. Next is that all of these blessings rested on God's grace through faith, not on our efforts. God just chose to bless, and God provided the grace, right? So then what happens after he bases those blessings on grace through faith? He acts. God acts. He does something. Psalm 32, I think, says that we wait for him and he will act. So he acts. He gives life to the dead. He calls into existence things that do not exist. And what's the result for Abraham? The next part of the process is Abraham's faith is encouraged, right? It grows strong. His faith grows strong because God keeps his promises. So Abraham is hopeful. Hope comes into Abraham's heart, and hope stays there. It's not just a fleeting, ooh, I had hope for just a minute today. But it can be a lasting hope that produces a deep, satisfied joy in who God is and how he's treating you. So Abraham is fully convinced that God is able to do what he promised. He's fully convinced of it. And then what? Next part of the process, his faith is counted as righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? God counts his faith as righteousness. And then what does the righteous man do? The righteous man gives glory to the Lord. That's the kind of process that can happen in your life, in my life. Because God has set it up that way. I just see that in here. So how does this then apply to us? Do you hope in God? I'm going to try with some promises from his word to use them for application. So would you do me a favor and take these personally, okay? It's really neat to see these. What has God promised you? Do you know the promises that he's made to you? Take, for example, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. That's a thing he takes very seriously. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Are you feeling like you need to be strengthened? I'm talking to Delbert this week. That's what he's feeling like. He's needing strength. He's physically drained because of his treatments. But he needs God's strength. Maybe you have experienced that this week. God has promised that he will do that. Now look at these verses. I put them in a different color up there. And it actually, I love these because from Isaiah 41:10 it says, I am your God. And then look at what it says in these verses. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's real. If you need strength to work in your job because you're doing a physical work, pray and ask God to give you physical strength. Maybe you need emotional, mental, spiritual strength. What is it? You know, talk to the Lord. Say, God, you promised to restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish me. I need that today. Would you please do that for me today? You're more hopeful to me today than a coffee. Oh, I'm sorry. Stepped on something there. No, really, right? God is more hopeful than chocolate. God is more hopeful than money. And so we rely on him. He is the God of all grace. And he is your God. Next one. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. You don't have to somehow look for some reason to be hopeful and try to, by your fingernails or tying a knot in the end of the rope, hold on. Because he's the God of hope and he will fill you completely with joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope. I like that song, Thrive, that we sang today. It reminds me of this. I want to thrive in the hope of God. Romans 15:5, may the God of endurance, look at this. He's the God of endurance and encouragement. Do you need stamina, strength, encouragement? May he grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. Micah 7:7 then says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. You know, there's all over Scripture, there's these things. That's the God is the God of these things. Isaiah 30, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Aren't those amazing promises? And they're for you because he's your God. If you put your faith in him, right? So I close with 1 Corinthians 2:5. So that your faith, do you see it here? Your faith, that word is key, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what we want. I would just implore you to put your hope in God's promises for you. Trust in him. Put your faith in him, even when it seems like there is no hope. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us this example of Abraham, how he, in hope, believed against hope. What an amazing example he is of someone who puts trust in you. I pray that you'd help us to hope in you in these ways and that you would help us deal with the things that we struggle with, the pains that we have, the difficulties, the questions, and what's going to happen in our life tonight, tomorrow. And I just pray that you would fill us with hope, Lord, so that we might be followers of you like Abraham was, our father Abraham. We want to give you praise and thank you for these magnificent promises, God of our salvation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We'll, in about 15 minutes, convene our congregational meeting and then take care of some business items. Thank you.